Just a general note while we're talking horror movies. If you're the sole survivor of a shocking massacre, move. Pick another city. Start a new life in Tucson or something. Or Vermont. Supposed to be lovely in Vermont. Put some miles between you and the madman so you can move on with your life and have a nice prom night, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier. That's the show, the number one movie in America. I'm currently holding my co-hosts off the edge of a cliff. It's Robin Hitchcock.
I'm the good one.
And Camila Adams.
Which makes me the not so good one.
I know, but so much attitude and confidence.
Yes, that's what I hold dear to.
The good son. We liked it. You know, especially compared to this week.
Oh,
you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
But after this week, The Good Son looks like a masterpiece.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my! I know. I want to retroactively raise my score.
Yeah. It's already pretty high. It's 77 2/3. A good score. The exact same score as Liar Liar a few weeks ago.
Interesting.
Huh.
We are always positive and sometimes very positive in the 90s.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
I wonder what about us as a young Gen X and two elder millennials.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's definitely a sweet spot right there. It's just like 90s. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Automatically 40 points.
Yep.
No, I didn't stop to do the math, but if you look at our scores overall, the average is definitely the highest in the 1990s.
Yeah.
The 70s are mediocre. The 80s, like the decade, just all over the place. There's 10s and 100s and 50s and all smacked into one another. 2000s are so-so. The 10s are not great. But the 90s, it's generally, you know, like everything's like a 60 and up.
Yeah.
Because, as you said,
good stuff.
Just good vibes.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it was this perfect blend where there was not as much crap coming out as there was in the 80s. Like, there was still a lot of, like, sure, here, it's a movie.
Right.
But not such an oversaturation like there was in the aughts and tens, where, like, there was a new one every week and half of them were shitty.
Right.
Like,
fewer movies were being made.
Fewer
movies were going to number one.
Yes. And more of them, like, at least tried to be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Or it's the luck of the draw, you know.
Also that.
We could get, what's a terrible 90s number one movie? We could get whichever Pauly Shore movie went to number one anytime now.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather watch any given Pauly Shore movie than Chronicle.
Yeah, no, that was pretty.
Yeah, Pauly Shore gets a bad rap. Like, it wasn't that bad. Like, he definitely had his place.
First Ernest movie a couple weeks ago. It was about 15 minutes in. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen one of these.
No,
and
I definitely.
Like, kind of good.
Really? I've never seen one.
It was Ernest Goes to Jail. I don't think it was good, but like I was entertained
was
for 90 minutes. Yeah, like I was like, great.
It's like, all right, Ernest, what was his, like, did he just come out the gate doing movies, or was it
from commercials? I did a background in this. It was
this is like if the What's the Beef, Where's the Beef lady had moved on to features.
Yes, it was local ads. I can't remember what locale. And they would get this Ernest character to knock on people's doors and be like, hey, did you hear about this new product? Like, not like literally knock on people's doors. The ads were a camera in the face of a man knocking on your door.
Gotcha.
And I don't know. People thought it was great. And I think that there might have been some IP motivation. Like, they weren't making money off of the ads because they belonged to an agency. And so they were like, but if we make a movie, it belongs to us.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And they did.
And it's okay.
They made several movies, and at least one of them is okay.
And I know there's a Christmas one, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think Ernest is on the list. I don't think Ernest has a number
probably
one movie.
Not.
Well, I'm sure there's a box set. It's not even at Walmart anymore. It's like at the truck stop, like eight for $7.98. that you can enjoy. Intellectually, I know it's probably okay. The truckers are watching movies on a little DVD screen while they're driving, but it's still scary.
It's scary. It is. I don't like it.
Everything about truckers is scary to me. Just
yeah.
Just
also, there's a world of podcasts out there. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, a little thing called audiobooks.
Yes.
Sure. They're looking for, you know, something a little less mentally taxing. Yeah. They want to put Ernest on. I don't know. I almost became a trucker. I'm saying that in the early pandemic, the path toward me becoming a trucker was very clear.
I remember you mentioning that.
You know, I got laid off. I was like, I don't know. This industry is in trouble anyway. Shit still is going to need to get places.
Everyone has their fantasy fuck it job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine is owning a pizzeria. I don't actually want to do that now that I know things about owning restaurants. Mm-hmm. But like when I was a kid and I was like, school is awful. I don't need to go to school if I own a pizzeria.
Yeah. I hear it's not really Smokey and the Bandit anymore. It's actually just a soul crushing.
It seems pretty soul crushing and it's really bad on your body too.
What does any of this have to do with prom night? Very, very little.
I'll tell you what it has to do with prom night. It is a fascinating conversation compared to the most interesting minute of prom night.
That's the impressive thing about the remake, the 2008 film we're talking about today.
Is it even considered a remake, though?
Yeah. Did they,
very
like,
loose.
Is there any connection at all beyond it being a horror movie called Prom Night?
They all take place on or around prom night. Not the fourth one, actually.
But, like, did they have to, like, ask for the rights?
I think probably.
It's so weird. I feel like I made the mistake of watching the original.
I did, too.
And I enjoyed it. So I'm saying that's why I was like, I made the mistake. I was like, you know, this is a fine movie to have on in the background. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was doing other things. I was cleaning my makeup brushes.
I took a nice little nap.
And like, you know, it's a decent slasher movie that has a 20-minute disco dance sequence in the middle.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thought, I was like, this 45-minute fucking dance break.
That's why I like, well, we'll get into it.
And so anyway, I was like, whatever, this is fine. And then after I watched it, Sean mentioned it's really a remake in name only, which I was like, well, I don't care. But then watching it, I was like, well, this would be a lot better if they actually remade the plot of the other one.
Right. I don't know what happened during development. What happened in the green light and during the pitch and the green light?
Oh, shit. Am I supposed to do the plot description?
Yeah.
I am not prepared. But it's going to.
What happens?
Does it matter?
Well, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The only remarkable thing about the one from 2008 is how just generally uninteresting it is.
It is profoundly boring. Can I get this plot description out of the way?
Yeah.
Can we dive into this?
If you don't know what happened in specifically the 2008 prom night movie, because none of the others will give you any hint, here is Robin Hitchcock trying to recall the machinations of this film. And I'm not sure I do. So let's see how it goes. Ready and go.
Okay, so Brittany Snow is a teenager in 2008 named Donna. Nope. And she watches her whole family get murdered. We hear through some exposition from Idris Elba, the cop, that her teacher became obsessed with her. Her teacher, Jonathan Sheck, became obsessed with her. And he's in jail, but then he escapes jail on her prom night and stalks her and her friends at their insanely nice hotel while they're there for their prom. And basically, it is an alternating sequence of like the OC level prom high school teenager drama, like the mean girl wants to be the prom queen, et cetera, et cetera. And then one of them finds an excuse to peel off from the prom and go to their hotel room and then get stabbed. Every death is just a simple stabbing. And almost everyone dies. They eventually evacuate the building. For some reason, they're like, no, we can't ruin Donna's prom. But eventually, Idris Elba was like, we're ruining the prom. They evacuate the building. She has a final showdown. She survives. I don't even remember how. She walks away with like everybody dead again and the end.
Yeah,
70 seconds, but as much detail as they had. I feel like this didn't have a script. It was just sort of broadly outlined.
Listen, as somebody who does theater without a script for a living, that is an insult to improv.
Well, it's insane to me because like you mentioned the exposition, the 30-second exposition, that the time it takes Idris to put his jacket on and leave the precinct.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
Why... Where was that? Like, that
That's
whole thing
so
should have been
interesting.
That should have been flushed out, and that should have been the first half of the movie.
Right. And also, like, the whole concept of, like, slasher movies being tied into, like, burgeoning teen sexuality, right? Like,
not really present here.
Well, and why the fuck not? Because the premise is that this teacher couldn't get his mind off of this 14-year-old hot girl and to the point of becoming a murderer. Mm-hmm. So, like, it seems like a ripe opportunity to explore the foundational subtext of the genre.
That's not what we're here for. We're here for PG-13 killings.
And then the other thing I was going to say is that I always watch the trailer after the movie. Mm-hmm. I wish I had watched the trailer before the movie this time, because then I would have known PG-13 horror movie, which would have dramatically changed my expectations. And I couldn't believe how bored I was by the way these people were getting murdered. And I feel guilty about it, because, like, as you know, I don't really like horror movies.
Right. But if you're going to be there, you want
to. I guess so. You know. I'm always like, my excuse is always like, well, I don't really like gore. Yeah. Right. But I'm like, show me some creativity. I missed Halloween too. Oh, yeah.
I thought that the way that they shot the killings was somebody was trying to do something.
That, like, is generous,
like,
of you.
Like, the premise, but, like, the lack of creativity behind each killing. Yeah. But, like, there was something there, like the lighting and the framing, and, like, somebody tried. They were almost there, but it just didn't quite curl over.
I think you're being kind, but I will allow it.
But what the compliment I can give this is, it's not even interesting enough to be terrible.
It's not terrible.
That, like, it's never entertaining, but, like, I can't be like, I hated this. Right. It's just all kind of there.
Yeah. What's fucked up is, I know I saw this before, but all of it was like watching it for the first time again the other night.
Thank God I watched it last night, because I believe that within the next 6 hours, this will be completely deleted right. from the hard drive. Yes. Like,
no, I don't. I'm retaining very little of it, but, except when you trailed off. I did remember the ridiculous second ending that doesn't need, I guess, just to get it over 90. But, I mean, they get out of the hotel. They get everybody out of the hotel, and they send her home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
And she's there, like, kind of talking with her boyfriend about how, man, sure is fucked up that guy's back. And then, with very little resistance, despite everyone knowing he's around, he gets back in and kills several cops and her boyfriend. She packs up into the world's deepest closet,
yeah,
where he's hiding 12 feet away from the closet door. And all of that, I timed it because I was like frequently looking at how much of the movie was left, and I'm like, she's still calm and there's 9 minutes left in this. Then I know there are credits. There are. The entire real climax of this thing takes 4 minutes and 8 seconds.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just so, like, you met all of the needs of each scene and did not go any farther than that.
I was pretty pissed about the whole, they're evacuating the whole entire hotel, and she's like, I have to go up and get my shawl.
I need my mom's shawl. They tried to make it like it's her mom's, her dead mom's, but, like,
no.
I got a dead mom. I'm not going into an evacuating building for her shawl.
Right, exactly. Yeah. My mother would not want me to do that.
Right?
There are so many moments of a lack of concern where everyone had a lot of reason to be worried. Idris says at one point, we have no reason to believe he's headed this way.
Why?
No reason!
Literally, you said his entire motivation for everything is obsession with this one girl.
What else is he? Is he going to the track? Right. Like, what else would he be doing?
Exactly. And I thought that she had moved out of state, but
no,
she should have.
We could keep doing this for a while, so let me give you some facts. This version opened April 11th, 2008, the 13th number one movie of that year. $20.8 million for first place. The debuting Street Kings, a Keanu movie?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I've seen it. I have no idea.
Second place, $12.4 million. A debuting Dennis Quaid movie I've never heard of called Smart People was in seventh with $4 million. Prom Night, obviously a one-week winner, third behind the debuting Forbidden Kingdom and the debuting Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Spent a month in the top 10.
Forbidden Kingdom?
Forbidden Kingdom, that's like it's a Jackie Chan movie.
Okay.
It opened in second. First, spent a month into the top 10, $43.8 million, the 65th highest grossing film of 2008. Everybody hates this. It has a 1.8 on Letterboxd. That is in the bottom one, the unofficial bottom 100.
It has a I am going to give it a 1 when I add it to my Letterboxd because I didn't, there. Like we said, there's nothing to hate. There's just nothing to like.
No. I might have crawled my way to 1.5, but I don't know why. 3.9 on IMDb. That is also in the bottom 100. 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. A quick rundown of the series. We'll talk more about the others later because what else is there to talk about? The original was released in early 1980, $14.7 million on a $1 million budget. Mm. In fact, subject of a small bidding war, Paramount wanted the original, couldn't get it, and bought Friday the 13th instead. Huh. That was their backup. Not on our list. It was more of a sleeper hit. And oddly, losing in its opening weekend to Leslie Nielsen's other movie, Airplane. Leslie Nielsen is in the original, kind of. The first 20 minutes of the original promises way more Leslie Nielsen.
He has several heavy scenes and then is just irrelevant.
Yeah. He's
like, oh.
one of his last non-wacky performances.
Yeah, when we were watching it, Colin said, okay, jokes guy not making jokes.
We just got Forbidden Planet, where he's not only serious, but young. Yeah, it's very, very confusing. Weird. Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2 was released in 1987. It did get a theatrical release, but earned only $2.5 million total, opened in 10th with $900,000. Prom Night 3, The Last Kiss, went direct to video in 1990. Prom Night 4, Deliver Us From Evil, which does not take place on prom night, so has even less to do with the theme, direct to video in 1992. That I didn't watch 3 or 4. 4 is like some kids blow off their prom and go to a creepy church instead. It's
great.
Like, you're stretching.
Wow.
Great.
The only two of these that are linked are 2 and 3. The original completely stands on its own. Hello, Mary Lou, which is fantastic, introduces this Mary Lou character who her boyfriend semi-accidentally killed during the prom. Okay, primer on Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. Starts in the 50s. Mary Lou is like a sassy, mean girl.
Okay.
She's at prom with a nice guy, but goes off in the back to fuck the bad boy.
Good for her.
He catches her, gets a nerd to build him a stink bomb because he's going to throw the stink bomb up the stage when she's crowned prom queen and embarrass her. The stink bomb accidentally lights her on fire somehow and she dies. Now we're in
Mary Lou dies.
Mary Lou dies.
Got it.
Now we're in the 80s, and for some reason there's a mystical trunk full of her belongings in the school basement, which she uses to possess the new prom queen and start killing people in revenge.
That sounds awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
There's a weird animatronic unicorn. It's fantastic.
All right. Sold.
There are people who are like, this is one of my favorite slasher movies, specifically Prom Night 2. One of the coolest kills, if this is what you were looking for, is where she chases the one girl until the girl hides in a locker in the shower room outside of the gym, and she just kind of follows her in there, and she psychically crunches the lockers together on either side.
Amazing.
It's so good. That's the one to watch. Prom Night 3 carries on that story. Those are the only two of these 5 movies that are connected. While we're here, fun fact for true crime fans, Prom Night 3 was financed by Live Entertainment. The guy in charge of that was Jose Menendez. The Thursday before production, director Ron Oliver went to dinner with the Menendez family, Jose, Kitty, and their two sons, Eric and Lyle Menendez.
Mm. Shit.
You may know them as the Menendez brothers. 3 nights later, they would murder their parents.
What?
And Ron Oliver would show up for the first day of production on Monday morning and hear, no, the guy got murdered.
Oh, my God.
One of the last things this family did together was a dinner meeting about Prom Night 3. That's fun. You know what? I listened to one of our older episodes because the Rob Zombie's Halloween episode came up in my Facebook memories. I threw that on. And you know what I got away from that I shouldn't have? Pop quiz, hotshot. It's fun when you answer questions. This game is called Was It Remade in the Aughts?
Ooh, I love it.
I will name a horror movie, and you tell me if it was remade in the 2000s. To start easy, Dawn of the Dead.
Yes.
Yes. That's the 2004 Zack Snyder one, which was written by James Gunn. I forgot that.
That makes sense.
I should go back and watch that. I bet it's okay. My Bloody Valentine.
Yes.
As My Bloody Valentine 3D, filmed locally.
I was going to say, I think that's the only reason I know that.
Right. It's from 2009. The Omen.
Yes.
I don't remember. So I'm going to say no, just to have a variety.
Yes.
No.
With Julia Stiles in 2006.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
House of Wax.
Yes. Yes. Paris Hilton was in it.
Yeah. And it's actually very good.
Really?
I've watched that several times. I'm like, I'm still enjoying this.
doesn't quite keep up with the original, but no. You know, this is a whole movie marketed around you'll probably get to see Paris Hilton get killed, yes, if you right. come to buy a ticket. And it exceeded, you know, what you might have wanted from that. It was 2005. The Fog.
No.
Yes, in 2005 with a big cast. I know I saw it. Okay, not a big, big cast. Tom Wiling, Selma Blair, and Maggie Grace. Yeah.
I don't even know who that first person is.
Superman?
Oh, sure.
I think.
Children of the Corn.
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes, as a sci-fi original in 2009.
That, sort of that only sort of counts.
Black Christmas.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, in 2006 and again in 2019. The Serpent and the Rainbow.
I don't even know what that is, so I'm going to say no.
No, you can't do Haitian voodoo zombies anymore. That had to stay where it was. And finally, the bizarre 70s killer baby movie, It's Alive. Larry Cohen's It's Alive.
No.
No?
Yes, in 2009. They remade. That's the point of the game. Everything got remade.
Except for the Serpent and Rainbow.
Except for Serpent and the Rainbow. I mean, there's some obvious ones I didn't hit, like Amityville Horror was remade and made a lot of money. Texas Chainsaw. There was a Carrie on TV in 2002.
There was a regular one, too.
Yeah, Carrie the Rage.
No, there was also the little girl, Chloe, whatever.
That was a little later.
Gotcha.
That was waited till 2013, at least. The Hitcher got remade. Stepfather got remade.
Love that. I love the remake of The Stepfather.
One Missed Call, When a Stranger Calls, Wicker Man. We couldn't get enough of this shit in the aughts. No, it was absolutely all over the place, including Prom Night.
Which is the laziest remake of them all.
What? Why? How? Why? I think what happened was, so the original, first of all, what did everyone think of the original?
Like I said, it was fine as a background thing. Mm-hmm. Some good moments. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis is great at what she does.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy the 20-minute disco dance sequence.
You know why I think I liked it a lot, aside from the disco dance sequence, the previous practice disco dance sequence where Jamie Lee Curtis is dancing silently.
Mm. Right.
And a cafeteria brawl, which is
always
helps. It reminds me a lot of Carrie. Like, I love Carrie more than...
I think that's intentional.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My letterbox review was, you got Carrie in my Halloween. You got Halloween in my Carrie. But that other than, you know, the intro and the ending, it's just kind of like set up for 70% of the running time like Carrie is. I kind of really like that.
Colin framed it as the 1981 has a little bit of, do they deserve this? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And the 2008 one is just like, this girl has been a victim and she will continue to be victimized. Which is more realistic, but not fun to watch.
No.
That's what I think. I think someone was like, okay, the original starts with a small child being unintentionally manslaughtered.
Yes, negligently homicided.
Right. And then has a lot of like pain and darkness in it. So we need to make this one just a normal, you know, a normal slasher movie because it's going to be a PG-13. And then they did a bad job of that because this one's dark as fuck. Like, she watches her mom get killed.
Yeah.
And there's a lot about her PTSD. And then she goes, she arguably goes through a more harrowing second version of the same trauma.
That when she goes back to her house and she has to hide under her bed again with her dead boyfriend on top of it.
Yeah. The resolution is literally Idris Elba saying, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Idris Elba telling me it's going to be okay would do a lot.
Very comforting.
That would be a big shot in the arm.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I think, yes, that's probably my biggest gripe. There weren't nearly enough tight butt shots for odd Idris. Like, I feel like we could have.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could have one, two, just throw it in there.
Like, yeah, they really didn't. He was just there looking like he looks and they weren't interested.
He's right there.
Yeah.
Especially because what a roster of generic teens you found for this movie.
Jason Street.
Who's Jason Street?
From Friday Night Lights. I don't know the actor's name. And then there were several names in the credits where I'm like, I definitely remember that being a name that I used to know, like Kellen Lutz.
Yeah.
I was like, that used to be a person who appeared in things, couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
What about her therapist, Ming...
Oh, Ming-Na Wen.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's own.
Yeah.
Yes.
Again, wasted talent.
Yeah.
Really, 2.5 minutes of her going like, you're in therapy. Therapy words. And we're done.
Now let's talk about something important. Your prom.
Yes. I think the scene where Idris Elba is like, I'm not going to ruin Donna's prom. That's the most, like, we're talking about, we wish that this movie had some moments of being, like, cartoonishly bad so we could at least enjoy it. That was the one moment where I was like, this is cartoonishly bad.
Yeah, and just the fact that he did not, like, the clerk is asking him, like, should we be concerned? He's like, have you seen this man? He shows him, like, this wily fucking feral beast wanted photo, and then he's like, have you seen him? I was like, no, should we be worried? Okay, I'm just gonna go out here and I'm gonna sir, police officer.
That seems like like many things police do in real life, I'm like, that seems illegal. Exactly. You shouldn't be able to be like, don't worry about it. There's definitely a murder loose at this hotel.
Right, yeah.
Not your problem.
Not okay. By the way, how many exits do you have in this building?
And the detail that they went into was stunning. Right. Is that a real hotel? Because it seemed like an ad for that hotel at various points.
We're doing renovations, so we'll come back in the summer and see us.
Right. Just at one point in my life, I'd like to see a movie where people stay in a hotel room and it is an actual hotel room that's like the size of like a king size bed with 1 foot clearance on each side and not enough outlets. That's right. The real hotel room experience. They were like renting out an apartment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were like, what, 8 rooms?
Yes.
And 2 bathrooms?
Yes.
Have you ever stayed at one of those, what's it called? It's not called a micro hotel. It's like compact. It's like almost Japanese style.
There is something called a microtel.
It's not that.
Okay.
What's the name of it? I was there a couple of times in Brooklyn, and it's like you open the door and there's a bed and there is a thing that's both the shower and the toilet.
Yeah.
And you could fit it in a closet. And you get in there and it's like, actually, this is cozy. I feel so secure and safe.
A pod hotel?
A pod hotel.
Yes.
The pod hotel in Williamsburg. That'd be a fun place to try to chase, like, oh, you can stab me from anywhere in this room. And that's the case in many hotels. Of course, this town, they rented the penthouse suite on top of the MGM Grand for their prom
night.
But
it still has wire hangers.
And with asking around, there are precisely 2 interesting looking people in this movie. Idris Elba, we know it's not him, and the singer from the Oneaters, who has the weirdest face. This guy has the weirdest face.
I think he's good looking.
Who's the singer from the
Oneaters? Jonathan Scheck.
Oh, what? Wait. Oh, are you talking about
that thing you do?
I thought it was the Wonders.
It is. It's like
early
a joke
in the movie.
There.
Okay. Everyone mispronounced.
There it is.
Sorry.
Okay.
Now we've explained the joke. In everything I've ever seen him in, I'm just standing there going like, you have an interesting head. He can't hide. He can't hide.
Right.
He just puts on a hat and kind of lowers his head a little bit. Like, I'm hidden now. You're
no,
7
you're
foot tall and distinctive.
And people will be like, are you good looking or are you ugly? I need to stare at you for a while and figure it out and then determine good looking.
It's a difficult thing to...
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I what happened to him?
Apparently, this is a rough go where it, like, this is his and credit. Like, I don't know. I wonder if there's, you know, life story behind it or
like,
if it just.
The last I heard, he and Christina Applegate got divorced and she's been on the up and up ever since. So I don't know what.
I mean, he's not like super talented.
No. He's I always just instantly get vampire vibes off of him every time I see him.
I mean, he is better cast as a serial killer or a vampire than he would be as the
singer of a 50s pop group.
Correct.
What's his name?
Jonathan Sache?
I think it's Scheck. I'm not sure if that's true.
It's been Sache my whole life.
Yeah. Oh, you probably know better than I do.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard it. I meant to look it up
before I got here. I know that he was on the cover of one of the Hollywood issues. I believe in my thread every year where I decide who is the mole on the Vanity Fair Hollywood issue. Yeah, he was definitely on one of those, and I said he was the mole. So
he has definitely fallen to a series of films that you've never heard of. that aren't like artsy. They're like, well, we got a release on, you can order it on your Vudu if you want. Like that, that's all he's, I mean, he's doing them all the time, but.
Does it have any controversies or personal life that would indicate that there's a reason he's not getting good work, or is it literally just a lack of talent?
I think it's that.
Oh, boy.
He's appeared 4 times in some of those in the DC television universe as Jonah Hex.
Oh, that seems like good casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Personal life.
Married to Christina Applegate, apparently. I didn't know that.
Oh. He claims director Franco Zeffirelli sexually assaulted him during the filming of Sparrow in 1993.
Well, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's got PTSD.
He wrote
and or said, hey, this legendary director touched me, and people were like, shh, we'll never cast you again.
Right.
He wrote that the assault dented his confidence and caused trauma that led to his addictions to sex, drugs, and alcohol.
So, yes, all of the above is the answer for why he hasn't had a great career.
Yeah.
This does not mean he's talented, because he's not really.
Right. No.
But
he, for a hot second, he had like his place.
Mm-hmm. He was a mini It Boy.
Yeah,
I probably shouldn't have called him the mole, because he did have momentum mm-hmm. with That Thing You Do, and then he was like, he was in How to Make an American Quilt, I want to say, and like a couple other like slightly prestige adjacent movies.
Yeah,
like real directors were working mm-hmm. with him,
right?
And so, and he was good looking, and so it felt like, hey, he could be the next thing,
but he just didn't have quite what it took to go all the way,
right?
But I do take great exception with Lisa spending a good 20 minutes of her life going, where do I know that guy from?
That was absurd.
You're gonna figure it out pretty quickly.
Lisa, also another name that does not belong on a teenager in 2008. Her, I need to go back to the hotel room minutes before they're announcing prom.
Right.
Where
what
she's
are
the
you doing?
Winner?
Like where she has not stopped talking about
right.
it.
And then also, I cannot believe that prom court reveal that, like, did they literally just leave that room waiting for 10 minutes of, like, they just will not stop being like, well, a couple of our court aren't here yet because they've been murdered. Mm-hmm. But, like, and so was the dance floor just like, well, we will patiently await which one of these popular kids we don't really like is the most popular.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how those things usually work. I'm more upset about the fact that they thought that the audience gave a shit about who is actually.
It's a decent amount of the plot.
Well, and they took the time to like show us the cards. Like, what? Like, I don't care.
Yes.
Like, why?
If you had tied that drama into the killings and the, which is in the original, right? Where
right.
he kind of sidestep, you know, he takes out the one guy because he knows and it's going to be her. None of that. Just like, people care about who's the prom king.
Yeah.
Right.
Or if he had like, you know, hung them from the rafters and like dropped them when they announced it, like they're hanging.
Yes.
Like
oh,
that.
I was expecting something like that. I was also expecting the woman announcing the prom king and queen mm-hmm. to be in on it somehow.
Yeah.
Or some kind of someone is in on it somehow, because she got a ton of screen time.
Yeah.
And had no reason to exist.
I also thought the other detective was
I also thought because at one point he makes a really they do like a long close up on his face while he looks shifty and now I'm like they were padding the runtime is what was happening there.
All that mattered to the makers of this film were getting the PG-13 rating and being both easily editable with the perfect length and content to run when ABC Family did 31 Days of Halloween for the next 4 to 6 years.
But I feel like this movie, even though it is rated PG-13, it's not family friendly. Like, you could make, I know this sounds silly, but like you could make a scary family friendly movie, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think The Witches that came out over the Witches remake mm-hmm. that came out over the pandemic, I think is a great example. Like that movie's not very good, mm-hmm. but it is a great example of this movie will be scary, but watchable for tweens.
Yeah.
Right. Of tweens of all levels of maturity, right? Like they mm-hmm. will be able to watch this without getting horrified, and you won't have to be like, yeah, sometimes teachers get obsessed with you. I mean, you probably should be having these conversations with your 12-year-olds, but you don't want to. So like
I just wanted more I wanted more information on that whole thing. Like why exactly was this man so infatuated with
right.
her? How did this happen? How did like why? And this like this, it was just such a slap in the face because we had so much time spent on look how fun prom is.
That's what Isaiah's just broadly outlined, because every conversation they have that isn't explicitly about the killer sounds like you went to a group of teenagers who can kind of act and said, say teenage things. They're like, wow.
Talk about
can you
prom.
Believe this is all ending? Prom is supposed to be great, but...
It's listen, the best night of our lives.
My improv advice for all of them is to latch on to whatever thing seems slightly unusual and really dig down on that.
Well, we wasted so much time on that subplot where the two of them were fighting and he was a dick and she didn't like him anyway.
They would occasionally have teens who had not spoken yet pop up and be like, here's what I think about the decorations.
Oh, it's so weird.
It was so bizarre. And they said at one point that the Dark Horse Mean Girl candidate for prom queen spent $100,000 of her own money on decorating, or like her dad's money on decorating the place.
I mean, that explains why this is nicer than any gala you've ever attended in your life.
The one connection that this movie has to the 1981, in addition to the title, is the light up dance floor.
Yes.
Seeing a light up dance floor in 2008 probably was very cool.
And, and
I've never seen one.
At least a $20,000 deposit and probably a few thousand just for the rental.
Yeah,
that's where that money went. We don't need to keep talking. This is not, this should never be watched, yet need not be avoided, right?
Yes. Don't claw your arm off if you're chained to something and forced to watch this. Like, you'll get through it.
Yeah.
But don't ever put it on.
Right, yeah. I think the killing that I am most annoyed with and most upset about was the killing of the maid. Like, that was literally overkill.
So
for a master key.
So incredibly not necessary.
Right. Like, leave that woman be. Like, you could have gotten it. You could have. I don't know.
And then they also spend a decent amount of plot on the hotel staff being like, where is Karen? She never does this.
Right.
It's like, I don't care.
The size of this hotel, there are 14 maids working in every minute of every day. One, you don't know their names.
Yes.
Two, you don't care if one fucks off for a while.
Right.
The trailer?
Your dress. It's a champagne
color, then it's a little sexy.
You look beautiful.
Oh, we're turning in.
Can I get three keys this week, 312?
Oh my gosh, you guys!
This is it. This is all ending. It's time of our lives.
Sure gonna miss you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, everyone. Bridgeport High's prom king and prom queen are...
Lisa! Lisa!
Oh my God!
3 years ago, this guy, he got obsessed with a young female student. He went psycho. He's been in a maximum security prison up until 3 days ago.
Claire?
He's somewhere in this hotel.
Is anybody here? Hello?
Donna. Oh, I've missed you.
He's not gonna stop until he gets her.
Yeah. I mean, it sells it as best as it can.
I wish I watched it so I knew it was PG-13, but it is boring. It also implies the presence of more jump scares than there are.
No, there's very little scary or intriguing about it. Like, we're not playing Guess Who the Killer Is.
No, because it's like right off the bat. Yeah. It's like, oh.
it's that fella.
Yeah, because I thought that we were going to do that because they were hiding his identity when he first kills her family, and then he does the, oh, we're looking right up at the...
There's his mugshot, and there he is.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's also why I thought that somebody else was going to be in on it.
Right.
To give it some amount of surprise or intrigue.
Like,
we have not mentioned the lead of the film. I like Brittany Snow. She learned to act sometime after this.
Correct.
Film.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to put, like, because I know I had seen her in something recently, and I think it may have been some Lifetime movie about mental health.
Did you see X?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to watch her have sex at length, X is the movie for you.
That might be the wrong selling point.
Yeah.
I'm not really looking for that.
With Kid Cudi yet.
Nope. Oh, that's even less interesting to me. Although, you know, we did just rewatch the Bill and Ted Face the Music, and Kid Cudi is so precious in that. Mm-hmm. He just is so happy to be there.
Oh, X is fantastic. X
but yeah,
is
I would like to give Brittany Snow some props for her later. And
oh, yeah.
Later.
Yeah, later on. Yeah.
And it is fair. She is not good at acting in this, but she's at least like a viable screen presence.
Yeah, she looks right.
Yeah.
In a way that even a lot of horror leads don't look. I mean, she looks precisely right for what she's doing.
Yes.
She can't do much with it, but X is great and she's good in it, you know. So she made a good horror movie. It only took 14 more years. Letterboxd didn't have much other than rankings of
don't watch this
of the bottom of various lists. But Black Survivors in Horror, because the one guy made it. Congratulations, buddy. Sorry, Lisa.
I'm also
but he lost Prom King, right?
I think I didn't learn their names.
He won
it. Yeah,
it was
two of them. Yeah.
What a great night for him!
Right? Yeah. I'm also upset about the lack of like parenting that is involved. Like you see this is happening on the news. Like his parents were not awake and didn't see this on the news, and they're not at the fucking hotel immediately snatching him up. Like let's go. Like look
maybe
at
all of their parents were murdered horribly in front of them.
That's a sequel. It's like Nightmare on Elm Street, only Freddy won and killed all the parents and left the kids.
Or even just her little aunt and uncle who are, you know, like, he tells you dude has escaped and they're like, we're not going to ruin her prom. No, go get her.
Also the point where they're like, hey, one of your guys got killed. They literally say one of your guys got killed. They mean a cop.
Which, wow.
And they're like saying it like, oh, you left your lights on.
Right. You guys just don't know about urgency.
I do want someone to find me the Spotify playlist that contains all of the brooding versions of 70s and 80s songs written for the trailers and or opening credits of horror movies. Well, I don't even remember.
Time of the season. Yeah, because I was upset. I was like, I was just thinking, I wish this was Scott Weiland's version.
Oh, did he do a version too?
Big Blue Missile or something. I think it was on like an Austin Powers soundtrack or something.
Did I talk about seeing Filter in concert?
I don't think so.
Filter has the type specimen of this when they did that version of Happy Together, he's just screaming the words me and you repeatedly over the chorus.
Oh, dear.
And I saw Filter on one of them 90s package alternative tours, and he did the saddest walk into the crowd I've ever seen while singing the cover of that song, because he starts doing it, and then he's like, you know, he does the dramatic, like, I'm going to walk through the crowd expecting people to react.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of maybe looks over at him.
Aww.
You know, everyone just 60% of people turn their head to continue looking at him. No one even approaches. So it's just a sad guy screaming in the aisle and then going back. I'm sorry.
That's embarrassing.
Somewhere I knew like a Filter super fan. Who the hell was it? And what an odd choice to make.
Yeah.
Let's rate this movie. It's going to be far from the lowest thing I've ever rated just because I don't have the, you know, emotions to punish it that much. So 24?
Yeah. I give it a 27.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 18.
Okay.
That's how old you are at prom. I was just scrolling through my low ratings, and I was like, I don't hate it as much as that. I don't hate it as much as that. I don't like it as much as that. So, whatever.
23 feels fine. I don't know how it gained a reputation for this is one of the worst movies ever made. It's like, no, you gotta actually like make a choice to be one of the worst movies ever made.
It's definitely not one of the worst, but it's definitely unremarkable, and Robin's right. It'll probably be banned. It'll be deleted from my hard drive like once I hit stop on the record.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And good riddance.
Yeah, it was. Did I pay for it? No, somehow I would have had to. It was one of those things where your cable box is like, you have one free rental this month through.
Oh, really?
I watched it on YouTube with ads, so okay. For free. And the YouTube with ads movies, I don't know if you've ever ventured down that path. It's not good. It is the crackle problem of the ads like attack you like mid-sentence, and they're frequent.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got the DVD from the library. So,
so no one actually paid money.
Thank God.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. Very good choice. Although I did get to pick the unrated version.
Oh.
Which inexplicably is the same running time as the other one.
Really?
What is different?
I watched the theatrical version.
Me too.
I assume that the original is like 98 minutes and 2 seconds, and this was 98 minutes and 48 seconds and had a little more blood and stabbing.
Okay. You know,
I think, I can't imagine there was anything more than that. Presumably, we've watched other movies that we actually had a reaction to. Camila?
I haven't watched anything really new. Like, I watched Poltergeist, which was new to me. Wasn't that impressed with it?
You know, I saw Poltergeist when I was young and then watched it again within the last few years. And I was like, this is deeply horrifying. Like, I was like very, very upset by it and very, very upset by how I had watched it as a child.
Really?
Yes.
Like, I like it.
I mean, it was, I don't know. It's yeah. just, it, I, 1982, like, I this is definitely, as I should have seen it as a child kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And this is the first horror movie that I have attempted to sit and watch, because I watched like, you know, first 20 minutes or so thinking, you know, nothing's really happening. So Kaj and I sat in bed and she watched it with me for like the first, you know, few minutes.
Did
like,
she see the swimming pool full of skeletons?
No, we didn't get that far, but we got to, it was funny because the, with the thunderstorm and then like when the clown in the chair is like mm-hmm. revealed. So it's like, you know, the dun, you know, the mm-hmm. clown and she's like, oh no.
It's, I am obsessed with children's reactions to scary things. Wait, I guess I won't identify this family in case this is bad parenting, but I was with a child and his parents at a Spirit Halloween, and whenever there was like an animatronic that was just big, he would go, no, too scary, and walk away. But then he came to objectively the most scary one, which is a little girl animatronic with a bloody knife and a sack full of like writhing body parts.
Oh my God.
Making explicit, like one of her sayings was like, mommy liked my little sister more, but I took care of her.
What?
And had all these sayings like this, and that he just stood there staring at forever. And I'm like, what's happening? I'm like, oh, he doesn't have any concept for killing someone with a knife. He doesn't know that that's a thing you could do. So he's scared of the big thing, not necessarily of the traumatizing
little
thing.
Kid that's wicked.
Who makes that toy? Like, why would you, or I don't know if toy is the right word. Why would you be like, you know what we're going to do?
To, you know, get $300 for Spirit. Because people put this stuff in their lawn.
Why? Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
I'm sorry.
But,
I was hoping after, you know, 3 or 4 years of this podcast, you would just be okay with all horror. But,
I am more into the spirit of the season than I normally am. I mm-hmm. think because I'm just so happy that it's not the summer anymore and I can maybe stop sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so no on Poltergeist.
No, I'm okay. And I also want no on Sorority Row. I watched that.
Which one is that?
That's 2009. A bunch of.
Is that also a remake?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a remake of sorts. It was okay, but you really walk away from it hating Sorority Girls even more than you maybe already do. Like, I don't. Not to offend anybody who's out there, but yeah, my biggest gripe was that how does Rumor Wilson come from Demi Moore and Bruce Willis and so terrible of an actor?
I don't know. Not a good actor and not a great face. Sorry, I'm sure she's a lovely person in real life.
Right, yeah, but she
and
was
I'm just kind of like, boy, did you not win the
horrible
role of the genetic die?
Yeah, even the girl who was like, you know, in Step Up 3 was better than her. Like, it's just like the shit was bad.
I once found in the Pittsburgh Magazine archives, there was like a little item about Bruce Willis and Demi Moore and the children being in Pittsburgh while he was filming Striking Distance and going to Kennywood. And there was a caricature of the two of them and then just two normally drawn toddlers except with Bruce Willis's head.
That's like hilarious.
That's kind of what they ended up looking like.
Right. The poor kids. I got to go to a critic screening of Nanny.
See, I would have been there and just simply missed the email. Sorry. Would have liked to see it.
Do you want me to edit that out, your lack of professionalism, Sean?
No, okay. I emailed them about it. It's changed so much. There's so fewer that they're actually going to my junk mail. So now put filters. But how was it?
But it was really good. It's not a horror, quote unquote, film in the historical sense or like the common sense of it. But I would definitely see it if given the chance. I could have just been in a great mood because it was like the best possible scenario for me because there were like four other people in the theater. Mm-hmm. I got to go to a movie theater and see a film. But mm-hmm. You can find my full review in Bust Magazine in the winter edition. There you go.
Exciting.
Yes. But yeah.
But Nanny was good.
It's like a lot of like African folklore. Mm-hmm. And beautiful, just beautifully shot. Like the colors are just so, and I like one of the things that struck me was like, you know, she's a Senegalese immigrant who comes over here and she takes a job as a nanny, was like, you know, working for this upper class white family in New York, and she's trying to get money to bring her son over to America. And like what one of the things visually that is done is that, you know, things are when she's with her own friends and family, like the colors are warm and it's, you know, it's dark and it's, you know, everything is just like, you know, vibrant colors and, you know, all that. And then when she's in their house, everything's stark white.
Ooh, I like that.
And just like brash and harsh and just like cold. So that's one of the things that stood out to me.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Robin, what are you up to?
Because it was the, you know, start of a new month, I watched a bunch of old movies that had Oscar nominations, which people aren't necessarily interested in. But I watched the DC League of Super Pets. And it is precious.
Yes.
I don't think that grown-ups should go out of their way to watch it, but it's on HBO right now. So if it's like, oh, okay, I'll watch this, or if you have children, they will enjoy it. And Keanu Reeves is the best Batman.
I said this already, but like, how did this never happen for real?
Yeah, right. He's so good at playing the character comically without totally selling it out. Like, I mean, I that makes it sound like I'm being too hard on Will Arnett, which I don't mean to be. But unlike previous voiceover Batman in comic kids movies, okay, what's the guy's name? Kevin Conroy is the best Batman ever, voice-wise. Sure. Keanu Reeves isn't as good as him,
we
whatever.
Have to say
fine.
That.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Will Arnett is very like, none of this is real. I'm just making jokes about this dark guy. And Keanu Reeves like plays it very emotionally, honestly, but still gets laughs out of it.
Well,
like, and when there's a big like goofy scene, and then he just sort of says quietly, "I miss my parents," and I loved it.
Mark Maron as Lex Luthor, that worked perfectly.
That was great. Yeah, there was a lot. The voice casting is all generally good. I don't really like The Rock as a voice actor. He's fine. You know, I continue to think that The Rock and Kevin Hart have good chemistry. Mm-hmm. Even when they're not in the same room, they played off of each other well. Presumably they had nothing to do with each other while recording their lines. Still works.
It's funny.
The movie as a whole is less funny as, remember that came out during that like micro moment where people were hitting each other with tortillas on TikTok?
No, I missed that. Was not in my For You.
There was a brief trend where you would fill your mouth up with water, like puffy cheeks full of water, and then slap each other with uncooked tortillas, and whoever went the longest without spitting their water
like
out.
Like a flour tortilla.
Yeah, like whap, and you tried not to spit your water out. And Kevin Hart and The Rock doing that was funnier than this entire movie.
That does sound really funny.
But I liked DC League of
anyway,
Super Pets.
That was the new thing I watched. Of all the old things I watched, the one I'm going to say to watch is Murphy's Romance, starring Sally Field and James Garner on Tubi, and just so charming. Just
Murphy's Romance.
It's just one of those movies where two people meet and they fall in love.
Where is this from? What year is this?
1985. And it is extremely charming.
Sure. Why the hell not? I believe you. Hellraiser. Let's talk about Hellraiser.
Colin told me this morning, I hope that Sean and Camila watch Hellraiser because I want to hear them talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry, did Colin, but I don't do Pinhead. I don't do Hellraiser.
Well, it's Lady Pinhead now. Does that help?
Nope. I have zero interest.
I feel the way I feel about the original and Hellraiser 2 and the writings of Clive Barker, which is, while I'm watching this, I'm like, I don't know if this is good, but I love it. Like, it's it's so fucking weird. Like, all of these are weird. I mean, there's 10 Hellraiser movies. I've only seen the first two and then this remake. All of them that I've seen are weird. They're all weird in new and different ways. They never really add up, but the vibes. It's just, like, it's so successfully this, like, bullseye of, like, classy, gory, kinky that nothing else even tries to hit, because why would you make a movie like that? Right. That it's like, okay, sure, you did it. Good job. The new Hellraiser is for people who already like Hellraiser or people who have always been curious about Hellraiser but never took the leap. Cenobite adjacent.
The thing that has never made, I've never seen any of these movies. Mm-hmm. The thing that has never made sense to me is that, like, their reputation is, what did you say, like, horny,
kinky, classy, like, kinky, gory,
BDSM. Yeah. And I'm always like, not to make myself sound boring sexually, but I'm just like, that is so far, everything that I'm seeing here is the opposite of sexy.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I think so, this is why I stay away from it. It's like, it's not, I mean, not to against nothing,
I'm not
against anybody.
Shaming anybody.
Right. Yeah. Like, if that's your thing, awesome. You know your thing, but I know that's not my thing.
But for me, I'm like, this is so far from sexy that I am not going to go down this road for the promise of it being kinky gory.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's not. It's like learning that this sounds really kink shamey. It's like learning that a specific type of animal has really bizarre mating rituals and just kind of going, huh? You know, right. If you're not into that,
if you're vanilla,
you're never going to be turned on by anything in any Hellraiser movie.
Right.
You're just going to understand that the people on the screen are getting turned on and find that kind of curious. It's really weird.
I like Cronenberg movies.
Is there a lot of sex in Hellraiser movies? Because I don't think I've...
Sometimes. Huh. It is more that one of the driving forces is that the demons and the people who are, like, trying to find the demons are all fully or at least partially doing so because they want the pain, because they enjoy the pain.
Okay,
that kind of
all right, all right,
that
there it
kind
is.
Of deal.
Okay, all right,
anyway,
that makes sense. Okay, now I get it.
Very gory. If you do come to this and you've never seen one before, you're going to be like, man, there's so much mythology and world building and backstory that I bet I would know if I had seen the other movies. No, it's always like that. It always really? Feels like you got dropped into a whole world and everyone's referring to things you don't understand. That's what they always feel like.
Huh.
That's just Clive Barker's
I just
whole
always kind
thing.
Of, I mean, that's a lot of sci-fi. That's
yeah.
I like that in sci-fi.
No, this is, in a lot of ways, it's more sci-fi than horror if that sci-fi was, instead of taking you to another planet, like a weird hell dimension.
Mm.
So... Mm. Am I recommending it? If you want. It's one of them.
You know if you'll like it.
Right.
And if you think you will, you probably already watched it.
I finally watched Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. That's the one that is not about Michael Myers. And
is that the little girl in the clown outfit?
No, that's Halloween 4. Okay. This has nothing to do with the plot of the Halloween movies.
I know I saw it last year. I just can't place it.
Tom Atkins is in it. It's about a company making Halloween masks for kids. Then the Halloween masks are evil and they're going to take over the world on Halloween night.
Maybe I did not see this one.
Yeah. It's a constant source of debate. The idea was they did Halloween. They continued on Halloween 2, which we watched. Mm. And then everyone involved wanted to be like, that's it for Michael Myers. Mm. Now we're an anthology and we'll keep making new movies called Halloween 3, 4, and 5. And they're just a different thing happening on Halloween.
Right.
Which I think is a good move.
Yeah. That
should have worked.
And everyone rejected it, partially because everyone just wants more Michael Myers. Partially because this one was so fucking weird. It's about a doctor who figures out that there's an evil company trying to take over the world through Halloween masks, and it gets weirder from that. Stonehenge is involved. There's robot people, there's evil robot people straight through the whole thing.
What?
And it starts as like a pretty clear, like, we need to find out what happened to that girl's father. And then, you know, Stonehenge magic and robots. It's so weird.
So if you like the premise of, you know, evil masks and Halloween costumes stuff, watch season 3 Buffy.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It's just Halloween episode. Yeah,
I think it's season 2.
Yeah, you're right.
Regardless, watch it.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Even though Sarah Michelle Gellar occasionally tries to have a colonial accent.
Bless her soul.
It doesn't work out.
Also went to Row House to see Cujo. You don't need to.
I'm absolutely that movie. I'm afraid of dogs already. Don't need to be more afraid of dogs.
I almost tried to watch it the other night because I realized I'd never actually seen it.
It's not awful. It's fine. I mean, if you want that, but good, watch Christine. You know,
I watched it. Well, I put it on last night.
Christine or Cujo?
Christine. Yeah. Instantly fell asleep, like right when the dude gets his car, wake up and just in time. And I have like a knack for this. I wake up at the last scene of a movie.
Yeah.
like dudes in a burnt car.
Spoilers, damn it.
Exactly. Credits. It's like, fuck.
My favorite fun fact about Cujo is, you know, there was a million dogs and they kept having to tape the dogs' tails to their hind legs because Saint Bernards are just too happy.
Oh,
because they were just
so
running up and wagging their tail all over the place, and they're like, "Yeah, you have to look menacing. Tape his tail to his leg. He won't stop wiggling his butt.
Angry.
There's some close-ups where they basically put like a vaguely Saint Bernard-shaped coat on a German Shepherd, so the dog would actually snarl and shit.
That's so cute.
Not cute enough to see the film. Although Dee Wallace is fucking amazing. Stephen King has said Dee Wallace in Cujo is the best performance in an adaptation of one of his books. Although there might be biased, he's also said he was so drunk he doesn't remember writing Cujo, so it was all new to him.
All right,
like, wow, this is great.
Let's draw a movie, the third and concluding chapter of 2022 spooky season special. Yes, Camila does have a veto.
And I'm getting my puppy dog face ready.
Just
in case I need to try to convince you to use it.
Just in case it's mediocre and we just want something a little spicier.
Spicy.
I don't think you're going to use it because who doesn't always want to watch Get Out?
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
Always worth talking
about. Best draw of the year.
Yes.
I am
here for it.
That's your spooky season. The Good Son, Prom Night 2008, Get Out, sure.
Yeah, so the Prom Night was really the only like traditional horror film this year.
Yeah.
Tony is shining down on us.
I don't know. I think Get Out is as much as anything.
Okay.
Bye.
Let's talk about it next week.
I mean, I've seen this many times.
I mean, according to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, it is a musical or comedy.
Sweet fancy Moses.
Peele's tweet when that happened, Get Out is a documentary. That's like one of those all-time tweets that I will never forget.
No, great. I've got a Blu-ray at home. Let's do this.
All right.
Before we get there, 2008, some month that didn't belong
April
for horror movies. April 11th, 2008. What was
That's
the number
prom
one?
Prom season. That's why.
Oh, it's prom.
And also it's... It used to be a box office dead zone. That was before.
Well, hey, this shit went to number one. So
exactly.
That's why
they released it then, is what I'm saying.
We didn't get around to discussing our own proms. Because
Camille and I didn't go to prom.
Neither of you went, and I can't remember it. And that's not alcohol. That's just like.
It was 20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago, and it wasn't that notable. Like, it's one of six dances I went to with my senior year girlfriend between, like, homecoming, prom, and she was a year younger, so then probably her homecoming and prom. I had people sleep over at my grandma's house afterwards because my grandma had like a big, you know, kind of hangout room in the basement, and everyone just kind of...
That sounds nice.
Amanda Averill was there. We're just talking about people we know. It was April 11th, 2008. What was the number one song in America?
Rihanna.
No.
Katy Perry.
No. You're tending a little forward in time. You should be tending a little backward in time.
Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey. Yes. It's just usually Mariah Carey. Which one?
The when you left, you took a piece of me. That one.
I neither know that one nor what it's called.
I'm going to get there.
I don't know this one to sing it, so you singing it won't help. Camila's not even trying.
Is it one word?
It is three words.
Three words.
I don't remember any Mariah Carey songs from that time.
Yeah.
If you were at the prom with a sheepish date,
shy,
who you just wanted to urge to finally get in close, you might say, you know, you're allowed to touch my body.
Yes. Okay. That's not the one I was thinking of. I don't think. I do want to say, while we're talking about proms, Colin was prom king. I married the prom king.
Congratulations. And you didn't even go to prom.